We are continuing in our series in the book of Acts, and today we'll be in Acts chapter 22. We are picking up with Paul in Jerusalem. He has just been beaten by the crowds and seized by the Roman authorities and is in the process of being dragged to prison, and then as he's being dragged into prison, he asks to address the crowd. And what we read in Acts 22 is what he says to them. "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Rise and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told all that is appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand of those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' At that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.' When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me.' And I said, 'Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him.' And he said to me, 'Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.' Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live.' And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, 'Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?' When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, 'What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen.' So the tribune came and said to him, 'Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?' And he said, 'Yes.' The tribune answered, 'I bought this citizenship for a large sum.' Paul said, 'But I am a citizen by birth.' So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately. And the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you continue to reveal your will in our lives. I pray that you would do so this morning, that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our lives to the direction that you are leading us. As individuals, as a community, as a family. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think I've shared before that my sermon writing process drives my wife, Salisa, crazy. Because my sermon writing process is that I will spend a lot of time thinking about what I'm going to preach on. So I'll read through the verse, and you know, sometimes through the week I'll read commentaries, and I'll be thinking through and deciding you know, what I want to say. And sometimes that leads me in a whole bunch of different tangents. And then really towards the end of the week, I try to collect all of those thoughts and tangents into something that makes sense, and then I'm able to put on paper really pretty quickly my sermon. Drives my wife crazy because it looks like I'm not doing anything until the very end, or it's not visible work. All that to say is that this is a week where there were lots of tangents, but I will try not to follow them all. Only a couple. So we're picking up with Paul. And Paul, as I said, he's just been beaten. And, you know, this is a crowd of people that are physically beating Paul. And they were beating him with the purpose of killing him. And so Paul is undoubtedly in pretty rough shape. You know, it doesn't go into specifics of how badly that he was beaten, but you can imagine if you begin to think about what it would be like to be surrounded by a large group of people throwing punches. After the first few, it would probably start to hurt. And then it would hurt a lot. And this is where Paul is. But Paul, being Paul, says, well, hang on just a minute. Can I address the crowd? The crowd that was just beating me, trying to kill me. I have some words that I want to share with them. And what Paul shares is the testimony of his conversion, which is an interesting choice, maybe. Really, in the short book of Acts, that we're taking forever to get through, but in the short book of Acts, Paul's testimony, the story of his conversion, is told three times. The first time is the first-person narrative where Luke tells the story of Paul's conversion. And then Paul tells the story himself twice, here and then later in front of King Herod, Agrippa. He shares his testimony. And for me, one of the questions that I kept on returning to this week is why. Of all the things that Paul could have shared, why did he go with this? You know, this is certainly not what you would share if you were trying to not be thrown in prison. If you were trying to convince the people, you know, that maybe you should just let me go. It's a surprising, maybe, message that Paul gives. And forgive me a little bit of conjecture here, because Scripture doesn't say this. But every step along Paul's journey, his long journey, people were warning him that when he reached Jerusalem, that he was likely to be arrested and possibly even killed, that things were not going to go well for him. So here's the conjecture, is that I would think it would be reasonable that somewhere along Paul's long journey that he would have been thinking about this and planned what he might have done or said when that happened. It seems to make sense in my mind that if Paul was being warned at every city that he stopped in, all of his friends were saying, don't go. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be arrested. Don't go. on these long voyages by ship that Paul would have taken a moment to think about, well, what might I say? And so this wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision. Paul, I believe, had thought about this, had thought about what he might say if he were to be arrested. And this is what he chose. He chose to share the testimony of his conversion with a people who had just beaten him, but that he called God, that he felt God had called him to go to in this moment. So that's the question we're going to try to answer this morning, is why? Why did Paul choose, out of all the things that he could have said, why did he choose this? The first reason is because I believe that testimonies are effective. That they are effective, they work. And they work because they're personal. Paul says he addressed them in their own language. If Paul was concerned for himself and his own safety, he would have spoken to the Roman guards, authorities, in their language. But Paul wasn't so much concerned about them or himself. He was concerned with these people who were beating him. And it was them that he wanted to show love to. And Paul, taking a further step personal, he said, I am one of you. I grew up here. And not only did I grow up here, but I grew up underneath the teaching of one of the best. You know, in antiquity, there was three rabbis who were considered, you know, the elite, the best of the best. It was Hillel, Akiba, and Gamaliel. And the most favored of all of them was Gamaliel. And this is who Paul studied under. You know, so he say, I'm one of you. I studied in one of the most respected schools. You know, he's making it personal. He's sharing the depths of who he was, the struggle that he endured, in order to make a connection with the people. Testimonies are effective, they're personal, and they're powerful. Paul's testimony is particularly powerful because his testimony begins with the first words that Stephen used to address the crowd. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you are the very same words that Stephen declared in his defense right before Paul encouraged his stoning. It should speak something to us that Paul chooses those words. Paul is very much acknowledging what he's done. And he's not only identifying himself with the people, but with Stephen. Stephen, whom he participated in killing. Paul's testimony is powerful because of the complete switch that has been made in Paul's life. Paul, formerly Saul, was devout. I mean, you know, he was a Jew amongst Jews. As for the law, I have obeyed it to the letter. And in his fervor for the faith, as he pursued the will of Yahweh as a Jewish rabbi or as a Pharisee, he sought to snuff out any threats to the true God. You know, we think of Paul as being this bad guy or Saul, of being a bad guy. Saul was doing what he thought God was calling him to do. Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament. These men that are persecuting him now are what Paul used to be. And he makes this complete flip in his belief system, going from persecuting the people of the way to being part of or leading force of the driving force at times behind the way. I mean, it's this complete switch, and it's powerful. It's powerful not only because of the change that has happened, but because it reminds us that the same thing can happen in people's lives today. You know, at times we think, well, certainly so-and-so, I mean, they would never become a Christian. I mean, they're completely the opposite. I mean, so certainly they, if Paul can make that switch, if God can make that switch in Paul, he can make the switch in those people who come to mind as well. Paul's testimony is powerful because Ananias told him that God had chosen him to reach and teach the words of the righteous one. As Paul said those words, the righteous ones, the crowd, these learned Jewish men would have known exactly what Paul was referring to. That Paul was saying that Jesus of Nazareth, who he himself had persecuted, who they were persecuting, the one who they had put to death, that guy is the Messiah. That one is the righteous one of God. And it's that statement that made the crowd say, this guy doesn't deserve to live. And it's not because they were mean or evil people. It's because they were so devoted to the God of the Old Testament that anything that was different from that, they were not able to see. Their eyes hadn't been opened. You know, there's great meaning in Paul being blinded and his eyes being opened to see the truth that was before him. You know, I pray frequently before I preach that our eyes, our ears, our hearts would be opened. Because the power in that is not from us. It requires the Holy Spirit moving and working the power of God to remove the scales from our eyes, our ears, our hearts, in order that we might see, hear, and believe. Paul's testimony was powerful, but it wasn't because of what Paul had done. Paul's testimony was powerful because of what God had done. Saul became Paul and was told that he had been chosen by God to know his will and to do it, to preach it, to live it. And Paul, you know, has this incredible testimony of what he did after his conversion as well. Wonderful things. And we tend to think that Paul's testimony is powerful because of all those things that Paul did. But none of those things would be possible apart from the power of God moving and working throughout that testimony. You know, a popular thing within the Christian culture is to celebrate certain testimonies while minimizing others. And sometimes we even do this to ourselves and we think, well, maybe my testimony really isn't that spectacular. Certainly it doesn't look like Paul's. You know, I've never been beaten. I've never been put in jail. I've never traveled across the globe to tell the gospel. Well, that type of thinking is the type of thinking when we make our testimonies about us. Because every testimony, if you are following after Jesus, if you have received that call from Jesus and you are following after him, your testimony is powerful, not because of what you have done, but because of what God has done. And his power is not diminished by your story. Your story is powerful because of him. Paul's testimony here is also important because it establishes Paul as an apostle. It gives him authority. Jesus had been executed 27 years before Paul's conversion. That's a long time. And so Paul, very obviously, was not one of the original 12. But Paul had a direct and immediate call from Christ. A direct and immediate call from Christ, where the very person of Christ appeared in the life of Paul and called him. And that's why Paul is considered an apostle. And so Paul's testimony was effective, it was personal, it was powerful, it demonstrated God's work, and it established him as a disciple or as an apostle. Many show a connection between Paul and the call of Isaiah in the temple. Isaiah was called in the temple, and he hears this vision of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And then God told him to go and preach to the people, even though God was going to close the eyes and ears of the people. God called Isaiah to go to a group of people that God said, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to believe. And I mean, can you imagine that missionary call where you're being called to preach to people who are never going to listen? And Isaiah, he says, "Well, Lord, how long?" And God told him, "Preach until the cities are laid to waste without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate." So how long is Isaiah to preach the gospel or the word of the Lord? For the rest of his days. For the rest of his days, God calls Isaiah to go and proclaim the gospel to a people who are probably not going to listen. And what is God telling Isaiah? God is saying, "Go and do what I tell you, and I will worry about the rest. The rest, the result, is not up to you. The obedience is up to you. Go and preach." And so likewise, Isaiah was called to stay amongst the people, amongst his people. And Paul was called to do the opposite. He was called to go and preach the message to the Gentiles. And so in this context, in this story here where Paul is sharing this amazing testimony, and it looks like maybe it wasn't that effective right here in this situation, think about how effective Paul's story was and is. That to the ends of the earth, the gospel message was carried because Paul was obedient to the call to go and preach the gospel amongst the Gentiles. And so Paul, formerly Saul, the bad guy of the Bible, becomes one of the greatest humans in the Bible. And in his ministry to the people that he arguably cared about the most, chose to share this story, the story of how he came to faith, what God had done in his life, My encouragement to you would be this. If Paul felt that this was effective, an effective means of sharing the good news with the people around him, then maybe we should give it a shot too. That maybe we should get in the habit of sharing more frequently how we have seen God moving and working in our lives. How did you come to the faith? How did Jesus call you? Maybe you're thinking right now, well, my testimony's not that exciting. Well, remember, it's not about you. It's about the God who is powerful, moving and working in your life. And so whether you came into this world proclaiming that Jesus was your Lord and Savior, or if you came to proclaim that Jesus is your Lord and Savior 5 seconds ago, your testimony is powerful because of the God in it. And so I would encourage you to think through your testimony, to share. And your testimony doesn't just have to be how you came to faith. Your testimony can be another story of how you've seen God moving and working. Maybe even, you know, some of you have shared with me in the last several weeks how those stars that you picked up and those words on them, how God has already been speaking to you through that. You know, and those stars, remember, those stars had no special power. I mean, they were cheap stickers that were written on, and there's no power in that. It was completely and totally random. The power comes from God. God moves and works in our lives. And, you know, we need to pray like Paul for these scales to be moved, that we might see. And so I have an assignment for you. My confirmation class doesn't like it when I give them assignments either. But my assignment for you this week is to think through your testimony and find somebody to share it with. Even if it's just practice, even if it's somebody who's already heard your testimony. But think through your testimony and share it. Because even if it's somebody who's already heard it before, saying it again helps you to be ready to say it again. And the more frequently that we share it, the easier it becomes to share. At times, as we're sharing the good news or the truth of the Bible with people, sometimes we become self-conscious because we're not Bible scholars or we haven't studied the Bible or I don't know all of the answers. Well, your story, your testimony is something that you should be an expert in because you're right there, you're living it. First-person account. It's something that you can be an expert in and you can share that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that each and every one of us has a story because of you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be reminded every day that the power comes from you and that you would help us to share it, to tell other people about it, that we would share your love, how you love us, how you love the world, and how you love them. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.